Galatians chapter 6. We're kind of there still at the beginning. We've talked about bearing one another's burdens, where we are concerned for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're concerned about their spiritual welfare. We're concerned about their relationship with God and their relationship to God's family. Okay? And that's the heart of what Paul is saying there when it comes to bearing one another's burdens. Now, that can take other forms too. There's the physical needs and the way we minister to each other. That, of course, that's obvious. But the heart of what he's talking about is of a spiritual nature. Okay? And he's contrasting that with the fact that there is a group of people, in particular, in these congregations, who are not concerned about people's spiritual welfare because they're teaching them things that are not in accordance with the gospel. Okay? As evidenced by everything that we have read previously. And this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like in these congregations here in the churches at Galatia, but even in today's present time. When you have someone coming in and influencing other people in ways that are contrary or not in alignment, or they are false teaching with respect to the gospel, it influences that person. And then that person influences somebody else. Okay? And so it looks like this. It looks like someone who is knowingly teaching false to someone who then takes it as truth and then spreads it. Does that make sense? And again, I go back to what he says in verse 3, where he says, if someone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Okay? Now, this can indicate just someone who is a brother and sister in Christ who has an attitude of superiority. Or this can relate to someone who, in this case, is outside of the will of God and influencing the church as a whole. Because, again, if you go back to chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, in verse 1. Hang on just a second. Okay. Where he's talking about the false brethren who've been sent in. Is that in chapter 1 or chapter 2? But I'll miss it. Yeah, I'm looking for where he's talking about the false brethren that was sent in. I thought it was in chapter 2. There it is, 2 and verse 4. I knew that was right. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. So there is a, in this case, in the churches at Galatia, there is a motivation, and it's a large effort. It's widespread throughout the Gentile churches, the churches, the congregations that are comprised mostly of Gentiles, false brethren. That indicates what? People who are acting like they belong in the church. And they should be in the church, but they're not. But they're undermining the message of Paul and the other apostles. Okay? And all of this to say that this has an effect on the relationship between the people of God and God Himself and the people of God in and amongst each other. Would you agree with that? Now, so these are the things that he's dealing with in chapter 6. And what's interesting is he's dealing with these issues by giving us, as God's family, the principles and the guidance to live with one another, even as we live out our relationship with God, okay? With the aid of the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit, okay? Does that make sense? Now, so he goes on to say there in Galatians chapter 6, he starts by saying, and we talked about this last week, he starts by saying that we should bear each other's burdens. And again, that goes to, we need to help each other spiritually. We need to help each other in all ways, physically. You know, somebody has a need and we minister to them, making sure they have what they need physically, being concerned, you know, food and clothing and stuff like that. We pray for each other when we're sick, and we try to minister if we can. But he's talking about bearing each other's burdens spiritually as well, okay? And that takes someone who is spiritually mature so that the right approach, okay, the right attitude, so that all that is in place, okay? He wants people to develop spiritually so that they are able to help other people spiritually who are maybe not maturing. Okay, like they should. Does that make sense? And so that's, he's talking about bearing each other's burdens. He then goes on in verse 5 to say, each one will bear his own load. Okay? Now this is not a contradiction. What he's talking about is ultimately, each one of us has to stand before God. Okay? And give an account. That is a motivation. That is a motivator. It motivates us to think, you know what? I'm going to have to give an account before God of myself. And I either have Jesus to advocate for me, or I do not. That's the difference. Okay, the Hebrew writer goes into great length talking about this. When each one appears before God, there's basically two categories of people. Those who have Christ to advocate for them, and those who do not. Okay? And if Christ is your advocate, he will stand before God and say, my righteousness, the righteousness that I have, is credited to this person. Okay? So instead of seeing my sin, he sees Christ's righteousness. Now you either have that or you do not have that. Okay, that's the difference. But when Paul says that each one will bear his own load, that's what that means. In other words, Cully and Larry and Dale, they can't they can't ultimately, when it's my time to stand before God, they can't. There's nothing they could do to help me in that situation. I either have Christ to be my advocate or I do not. So the idea is now, as we live in God's kingdom in the present time, we should be trying to help each other develop spiritually because of that fact. Reminding each other that we will all have to make that appearance. What can I do right now to help you in that? Does that make sense? Would you agree with that? The Hebrew writer goes into great length about this. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, he says that everything is open and laid bare before Him with whom we have to do. Okay? So as it pertains to bearing our own load, it's instructive for us to remember that God sees everything. Okay? And nothing is hidden from His sight. But the good news is because God does see everything that I do, say, and think, I have an opportunity for Him not to look at that, but to look at Jesus in my place or in your place. And I'm not suggesting that I know every detail about what's going to happen on that day. But it appears to me, and it sounds like good news to me, Dale, you know, if he says, okay, Dale Bullock, here you are. This says that you have Jesus' righteousness. You see what I'm saying? Because when... You know, it's kind of like being in school and the teacher calls your name, and if you're the student, you think, okay, why is she calling my name, you know, out loud, you know, and you think, is this going to be good or bad? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of that feeling, but, and I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but I'm just saying, if it's time, Larry Revel. Oh, this says that you have Jesus' righteousness. So that you're righteous like Jesus is. Well, that's good. You see what I'm saying? In other words, the burden in verse 5 is our responsibility for our own spiritual development. Ultimately, it's my responsibility whether or not I'm maturing in Christ. Would you agree? In Romans chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 1 through 11. And in Romans chapter 2, Paul's going to kind of address both issues. Those who are not helping their spiritual family develop spiritually, because instead of noticing a deficiency and trying to help make that right or help that person, to encourage them to do what's right, to make better choices, to return to God's family, or to grow spiritually, they're all about the condemnation part of it, okay? And then he's also, he addresses that, and then he also addresses the idea of personal spiritual responsibility. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. So it's not about fault finding so much as it is recognizing when someone is distancing or separating or drifting away. The idea is not to come out and enumerate every single thing that we find wrong with them, but go and encourage them with love, saying, let's return to God. And obviously it's because there's some recognition that this person is drifting away. Their attitudes, their actions, they're not around. So again, it all comes back to everybody knows there's a problem. Everybody knows that there's issues. The difference is in the approach. Are you motivated by love to restore that person? Are you going to crush the bruised reed, so as to say, as the prophet said? Now, and we know that the judgment of God, Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Okay, we need to recognize that we ourselves need the kindness of God, and then to also hold out that kindness to others who are in need of it. Particularly those who may be drifting away. Two in verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath, in revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. Now that goes directly to what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 5 about each one will bear his own load. Romans 2 and verse 7, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth. This goes directly to the folks who are stirring up trouble in the churches at Galatia. They're not motivated by love for others. They're motivated by selfish ambition, okay, to gain a following, to gain notoriety, to have influence, okay? And you'll notice they are not obeying the truth. Again, Paul points out that these folks are false brethren, okay? Which can be one example of this, okay? This can be one form that this type of attitude takes. Now, we also should be warned as brothers and sisters in Christ that our attitude towards each other should also be not one of superiority one over the other, but to recognize that we all are in need of Jesus Christ. It's the same idea of someone who thinks that he is something when he is nothing. Okay? That attitude can influence the church either by those who are inside the church or those who are outside of the church. Would you agree with that? There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good. 1st and foremost, we should be motivated by love for each other as it pertains to our spiritual development, but also another motivation is the honor and the peace that we ourselves have the promise of enjoying. When we are doing what God wants us to do, especially as it pertains to our relationship in His family and God's kingdom. For there is no partiality with God, Romans 2 and verse 11. He goes on in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Again, this goes back to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, where he talks about each one will bear his own load. For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Jordan, you can't give an account for Dale, and Dale, you can't give an account for Jordan. But again, this is a motivating factor not only of how we look at our own lives, but it motivates us in our relationship with other people because we love each other, and we don't want someone to stand before God and not have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? Yeah. That's right. It's what he says there in 2:11, Romans 2:11, that there's no partiality with God. Right. The book was open and those whose name was not written in it. If you would, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul, he's applying this attitude to himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul is, he's talking about precisely this thing. Okay? And he's taking this standard that he's laying out there, this standard of love for each other and concern for our spiritual well-being. He puts that standard out there, and then he applies that standard to himself. And then he points out how there are some who are not motivated by this. They're motivated by other things. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting in verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Notice that. From the very get-go there, he's encouraging us to have what kind of attitude? Meekness and gentleness. Okay? See, if I'm concerned about your spiritual well-being, and that's what we're... Right, we should be concerned about each other and always, but right now, specifically what we're talking about is our soul. If I'm worried about someone, their soul, their current spiritual condition, it hurts me, right? If I see someone who's drifting away, they're disconnected, it's painful to see, okay? Foster fell off his bicycle the other day and cracked his coconut and road rash on his shoulder and everything else, and you know, when that happened, you're like, you know. And Harris was having a cow. She was crying. She thought it. But it's that same kind of, you're like, you know, it's that same kind of, whatever the problem is, you want that problem to go away. Okay? If someone's hurting like that, you want to act carefully. So like somebody falls off their bicycle, you're gentle with them. You know, you're like, oh, are you okay? And you know, so that's the same attitude. Okay? And I know that's, I'm not trying to be silly, I'm really not, but it's that meekness and gentleness. I'm concerned, you know. And that attitude comes from where, he says there in 10 and verse 1. It comes from Jesus. It's just like when the rich young ruler was there before Jesus. What does it say? Jesus knew he wasn't right, but it says, the text says that Jesus did what? He looked at him and he loved him. Okay? He pointed out what was needful spiritually, didn't he? Jesus didn't hold back on that. But he looked at him and he loved him. Okay? I asked it when I I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold when you are when absent. I asked that when I am present, I need not to be bold with confidence, and with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walk to according to the flesh. Again, this would relate to a group of people that have the same attitude, or maybe it's some of the same folks that are causing problems in the churches at Galatia. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, when we think about destroying fortresses, how do we do that? Well, we need a howitzer, and we need a 50 cal, and we need some C4 and plastic explosives and all this kind of stuff. Right? That's how you destroy a fortress. Not according to Paul. He says it's meekness and gentleness. Meekness and gentleness can destroy fortresses. Is that right? When it comes to penetrating the heart of someone who is drifting away, it sure might. Would you agree with that? We are destroying speculations, and it also, again, Paul is waging the warfare of God, and he is gentle and meek towards those who need restoration and encouragement. But he is firm with those who are causing the problem. Okay? So we'll pick up there next time.